God who always causes us to triumph in his name. Thanks be to God who always causes us to win. Yeah. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in his name. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. We have overcome. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have overcome by the power of your name. Jesus, you're the one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The one who made a way for us to triumph in your name. Oh, 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 oh.
Thank you, Jesus. We got the victory. Old song of church says, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with His redeeming blood. I'm glad to know that I got the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're standing and before you're seated, we do want to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. I would ask you to remember Brother and Sister Fredrickson, Brother Al, Sister Christy Fredrickson. They are both not feeling well this morning. Also, Sister Christina Sierra has been battling sickness. A lot of it going around. I know that the Piles and the Grimms, they are away on vacation. They would cover your prayers concerning the traveling, Sister Day. Let's pray for Brother Day as well this morning. And as we take these needs of the Lord in prayer, if there's those among the congregation who would like to be anointed and pray for, it's always right. It's biblical for you to come forward, and we would anoint and pray for you, as the Bible says. But let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. Dear Jesus, we love you. Oh, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory and honor and praise that you are so due and so worthy of. Oh, we thank you that we can bring these needs, God, these cares, concerns of our lives before you, God, asking you to work and to move. Lord, we lift up Brother and Sister Fredrickson before you in prayer this morning. God, Sister Christy's been battling his sickness for a while, God, and we ask, Lord, that you would intervene in that situation. Lord, give Brother Al a healing touch as well. God, we thank you that we can come to you, trust in you, God, for Brother Day. We call out, God, on his behalf this morning, asking you to work, God, to raise up, to heal, to restore. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We honor you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your truth, God. What a pleasure it is to know you and to serve you. How wonderful you are. Your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your truth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before you're seated there, is something new we've started this year, and I want to thank Sister D. Kellum for being willing to do this. But if you are of high school age, 9th through 12th, we invite you to go and be a part of a new youth class that we are starting on Sunday morning, a high school age class. So if you are grades 9 through 12, we invite you to go upstairs. You can kind of follow those. There's two stairways at the back that kind of go up to an upper room. And so we invite you. You can go ahead and go right now if you want to. You can make the exit. Sister Allison, what I asked you to do earlier, if you want to do that when you come down, that would be great. I have a mission for her a little later on, but I am excited to announce to you that near the end of the service this morning, we are going to take Joshua Kreger down in the name of Jesus Christ, baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to that this morning. Those of you that are remaining, if you would grab your Bibles and stand with me. You are turning to Romans chapter number 6. I do want to say thank you to all of those that financially sacrifice and giving to our program called Christmas for Christ. It's a program, it's an arm of their fundraising arm of United Pentecostal Church International that helps not only establish new works, but it also helps those works that are basically 5 years and under in tenure, and help support them. And so we give to this cause. 40% of the offering stays within the District of Illinois, helping to establish and help new works here in the state, the District of Illinois. And I am excited to announce to you that this church, your sacrificial giving, we are able to give an offering to She's for Christ of $1,635. That is awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for your sacrificial giving of that. It's a great cause, and we do it every year at Christmas time. And so thank you so much. Romans chapter number 6. Begin reading in verse number 3. It's good to be home. Good to be in pulpit. I'm very comfortable. I'm preaching from. I did have the opportunity to preach while in Fruitland Park there with my father while we were away. And but it's so good to be here, despite the weather and what we came home to, it's still good to be home. And Romans chapter number 6, in reading in verse number 3, Know you not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried. Everybody say buried. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I don't know about you, but I am interested in walking in a newness of life. I am interested in living a resurrected life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Our old man is killed. That the body of sin, everybody say body of sin, might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he's talking about baptism. He's talking about us, similitude and like manner of what Jesus did. We are buried with him in baptism. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Help the Lord, I wanted to preach to you upon this subject. Burying the body of sin. Burying the body of sin. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for this awesome opportunity to be here in your presence. Lord, I'm thankful for the power of your Spirit that we feel in this place. Lord, I pray that every heart would be open, ear attentive to your word, that we would see therein, God, our own need, God, to be buried with you in baptism, Lord. And if there are those under the sound of my voice who have never been baptized in your precious name, Lord, that they would understand through the words of this message this morning, God, your Spirit leading and guiding and calling them, God, to be buried with you in baptism. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you that the body of sin could be destroyed and that we would bury the old man, never to be exhumed. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Burying the body of sin. It is known by many terms, terms like internment, committal, the graveside, or just the burial. When the casket is closed or the final words are said and the family and loved ones pay their last respects to the body, it is at this point where more emotion seems to come pouring forth. I do not intend to be morbid or insensitive to anyone who has recently had to bury a loved one, but once life has left the body, whether through assistance by cremation or natural decomposition, the body begins to be destroyed. And the evidence of the physical life that once existed is to be no more. I have read how that individuals that have lost loved ones through tragedy wherein the body was not recovered, often they have trouble with closure as they were not able to view the lifeless body of their loved one. And so seeing that individual as deceased and gone is often difficult. There are many days that they think that maybe they will see that individual again because they haven't had the opportunity to get the closure of seeing the body buried. There is a time that when we talk about these things, and there is a time, and I realize it as I rise this morning to talk about things like this. We may say, why talk about this? Why bring up things that stir up the human emotion? I only do this to illustrate a point. The burial of a body is of great significance, and while it is often surrounded by a scene of sadness and loss, there is another burial that I want to talk about. I realize that there are those moments. I realize many of you know just in the last month I buried my grandmother, and my wife has buried her grandfather, and seeing that individual or being near that individual, and you know that life has departed, and you know that individual is soon in a physical form to return to the earth, if you will. There is a sense of loss. There is a sense of great sadness. I distinctly remember it was over 20 years ago now, but I had an aunt who had a stillborn child. I remember
was only a teenager at the time, but I remember such sadness. I remembered as I looked there at the graveside and I saw the little tiny coffin and I was overwhelmed with emotion. And though there was never any attachment where I was concerned to that individual, to that little life that there was, and though it had never breathed a breath outside the body of my aunt, there was still such a sense of loss. I realize that when you talk about these things, you say, well, why bring them up? Why stir the human emotion? But as I've often said, the Bible often reveals things by way of contrast. And while in the natural we see things as a funeral or burial, as something as being sad and something that is lost, I want us to understand that there is another burial of great significance that does not bring sadness, but rather brings joy. There is another funeral that we all must have in our lives if we are to live and walk in a newness of life. And that funeral brings with it great gain. I'm talking about burying the body of sin. Before we get into all this about the body of sin, let's talk about a body of no sin. Let's talk about one who lived life, and yet Hebrews 4:15 tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He lived a perfect life. 1 Peter said, He was the just for the unjust. He lived a life without sin and without mistake. His body of no sin, we understand, was buried and rose again so that our body of sin could be buried and destroyed. There is significance when we talk about the body of Jesus Christ. There is a reason why we are so adamant about the name of Jesus Christ. We understand that that name identifies the man who had the body, the man who was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. We understand that when we say the name of Jesus, it is identifying that spotless, sinless, perfect sacrifice given for all of humanity. A body of no sin. A body absolutely perfect. A body that never, not one time, made a mistake, but He fulfilled all the law. He did everything right. He never messed up. He never made a mistake. He had a body of no sin. And it's only by His sacrifice, it's only through Jesus Christ that you and I have an opportunity to bury our body of sin. It's only because He had a body of no sin that you and I can come and destroy this body of sin. That's why Paul, writing the church of Colossae, says, Colossians 2, verses 8 through 12, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of men and the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Catch this, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, watch it, bodily. And ye were complete in Him which is ahead of all principality and power, in whom ye also are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in a putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. How do we do it? Buried with Him in baptism. I'm able to put off this body of sin. I'm able to bury the old man, never to be exhumed, because Jesus Christ, the body of no sin, in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in bodily. Tell you why we are so adamant about baptism. baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, it is every example in the Bible is given baptism in the name of the Lord. Baptism calling upon the name of the Lord. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Why are we so adamant about the name? Because it identifies the body in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt. Newsflash, the Father didn't die and the Holy Ghost didn't die. I'll tell you who died: the man Christ Jesus, the body in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwelt. So that's why we preach, that's why we teach, that's why the Bible shows by example that baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it identifies the body in which all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. We already read it, Colossians 2 and 9. But also the body that was wounded for our transgressions, the body that was bruised for our iniquity, the body upon whom the chastisement of our peace was upon, the body by whose stripes we are healed, according to Isaiah 53:5. It is the body that bare our sins upon the tree, according to 1 Peter 2:24. It is the body by which we are sanctified once and for all, according to Hebrews 10:10, the body that presents us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the sight of God, Colossians 1:22, and the body that reconciles us unto God, according to Ephesians 2:16. Why are we talking so much about the body? Because it is the body of no sin that allows me to take my body of sin and bury it. Talking about burying the body of sin. That's why Paul says, where we read, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. When I am buried with him in baptism, when I go down in what we refer to as a watery grave, I am baptized with Jesus Christ. I am buried with him in baptism and the body of sin is buried under the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, I'll cast the sins as far as the east is from the west. They will forever be in a sea of forgetfulness. Can I get a witness to say, I'm thankful that through the body of Jesus Christ, I can bury my body of sin. See, it's a burial to be celebrated. It's a funeral that doesn't bring sadness, but brings joy. Our Bible says there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. We understand that repentance is the death. It's crucifying the old man. It's mortifying the deeds of the body. It's coming before God and saying, this body of sin, I don't want it to live anymore. This who I used to be and what I used to do, I don't want to be it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to crucify it. I want to kill the old man. See, it's very important. The Bible tells us, we read verse number 5, Romans 6:5, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Can I make a point here? We cannot be in the likeness of his resurrection until we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. I can't walk in a newness of life until the old life is buried. I can't be a new man. I can't be a new creature until the old creature is crucified. I can't be raised up and live a resurrected life until there's been a death and a burial. beauty of the gospel is such that he that knew no sin became sin for us. He took our sin. He bare our transgressions. His body, his sinless, spotless, perfect body, his just, holy, righteous, perfect body became sin for us. He forever made it possible through his sacrifice for me, you, and I to destroy this body of sin. To walk in the newness of life. It is no mystery then why Jesus said, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Let me tell you why. And there's a lot of people that would like to skirt around that scripture. They like to say, well, it's just something that he was referring to, and it was just kind of a type and a shadow. No, because here's the understanding. If I truly believe that baptism is burying the old man and it's destroying the body of sin, then what I must do, faith without works is dead. And so what I must do is act upon that belief, because he that believeth, let me tell you, someone who does believe in burying the old man and burying the body of sin, they understand the only way that happens is if I'm buried in baptism. So I'm going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Baptism. If we truly believe the body of sin needs to be destroyed, then there must be a burial. And the evidence of that old man that existed, that old person, that old man or woman, that old creature must be put under, never to be exhumed. The body of sin might be destroyed. Why? Apostle Paul said that henceforth we should not serve sin. God has given me the power through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that I don't ever have to serve sin again. Ooh. I don't ever have to do what I used to do. I don't ever have to live how I used to live. I can tell you on the authority of God's word that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what he did for us in his body of no sin, I can have this body of sin destroyed, never to serve it again. Say, what does that mean, that I never mess up, I never make a mistake? No. What that means is simply this. I am no longer a servant of sin. It doesn't mean I don't mess up in my flesh. It doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know that there are some times and I don't do as I ought to do. But guess what? That doesn't mean I got to serve sin. That doesn't mean it gets to be my master anymore. That doesn't mean I get have to be led around by my own temptations. No, I don't have to serve sin anymore, because through Jesus Christ, the body of sin can be buried. That's why Galatians 3:27 says, for many of you have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. You put on his holiness. You put on his righteousness. You put on his perfection. You've buried the old man. You've mortified the deeds of the body with the lust thereof. You've gotten rid of the old man. That doesn't mean he doesn't ever try to resurrect or come back into your life. The reality is you keep him buried. You keep him buried under the blood of Jesus. You keep him buried by coming before God and confessing my faults, and I put him back under. Oh no, you're never living again. I'm never serving you again. That the body of sin might be destroyed. See, I go back to the day of Pentecost, and when Peter began to preach, and he told them, they asked, men and brethren, what must we do? And then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even if any, as the Lord our God shall call. The Bible says this, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. is a burial, but there was some gladness. There was some joy. So wait a second. You mean this man Jesus, whom we by our wicked hands have crucified and slain, this man Jesus, the one who walked among us and talked among us, the one who healed among us, this man Jesus, that body that we saw hanging upon a tree and we saw take down and bury in a tomb, that body lives again? Yes, that body lives again. And he went back and has shed forth this which you now see and hear. That's why Peter, and I'm paraphrasing, when he preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, listen, we talk about David, and David was a great king, but you need to understand that when David said, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption, we understand David wasn't talking about himself, because we got the sepulcher of David. We can go visit the sepulcher of David, but David was being a prophet under the inspiration of God, and he was speaking concerning Jesus Christ, and we don't have a sepulcher we can go to because he's risen. Bearing the body of sin. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Just a few moments, we're going to witness a burial. It's not one to be sad about. It's not one to be upset about in any sense of the word. Listen, let me just be very plain, candid. If I enter the waters of baptism with a sense of sadness about what's being lost, I better reconsider what I'm doing. Because when I come to the waters of baptism, I realize there's a burial about to take place. And let me just be candid and frank. There is no need to pay any last respects to the body that's about to be destroyed. There is no reason to hang a head in sadness. There is no reason to look and say, well, you know what, I really like doing what I used to do. Oh, somebody that's truly repented and somebody that truly comes before God and saying, no, that old man needs to die and be buried. There's a celebration when they go under the water. There's a celebration that says there's a body of sin that's being buried today. There's a funeral that's happening and it's to be celebrated. There's gladness. We used to sing an old song in the church. I'm so glad that I've been buried in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of. I'm so glad that I've been buried in the name of the Lord. Since the name of the Lord has been revealed. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we take someone down in the baptismal tank, and I say over them, I state their name, and I say by the confession of your faith, you believing that when I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, that name remits you of all your sin. I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. Though in the natural, catch this, the only thing different is evident to our eyes is that individual that went in dry, usually from the waist up, and now come up completely wet. Really, in our human eye, that's the only evidence that something has taken place. But in the spirit realm, there's something altogether miraculous taking place. There's a burial that's happening. And we need to understand, when someone is buried in the name of Jesus, that burial, it's not just for that instance, and it's not just for the past sins. It is past, present, and future. And that body of sin is buried. That body, that old man that's been crucified, is now put under the blood of Jesus. Every time the accuser of the brethren comes into your life, you remember what you did, you remember. No, I don't. And furthermore, neither does the Lord.
Oh, but you didn't know. It's dead. I buried that. Excuse the analogy. The devil, it's dirt you can't dig. Because I've been buried under the blood of Jesus, and you can't get through the blood. You can't exhume what's been buried. The only way what's been buried is exhumed is if you and I make the willing choice to go exhume the body of sin and now start giving it life again. You see, I'm interested in walking in newness of life. I'm interested in the body of sin being destroyed, never to live again, never to have life, that I would not serve sin anymore. I'm interested in bearing the body of sin and keeping it forever. Thank you, Jesus. Your body of no sin made it possible for me to take my body of sin and bury it. And henceforth, I would not serve sin. See, when I've been baptized in the name of Jesus, sin hath no more dominion over me. The name of Jesus, the name of the one in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in bodily. The name of the one who was sinless and perfect. The name of the one who gave his body for me. The name of Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the mention of that name every knee will bow and every tongue confess. I'm here to tell you this morning that through the name of Jesus Christ, when we baptize someone in the name of Jesus Christ, they have now been given dominion through the name of Jesus, and the body of sin can forever be kept in subjection through the power and the name of Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, I encourage you. You say, man, I want to know more about this, and I'd love the opportunity to share with you. Why? It's essential to one's salvation. Because if I'm going to walk in the newness of life, if I'm going to be in the likeness of his resurrection, guess what? I got to be planted together in the likeness of his death. There's got to be a burial. Thank you, Jesus. If you feel comfortable doing so, why don't you raise your hands right now? Thank you, Jesus. Possible for this body of sin,
sin to be destroyed. Crimson stain, he washed in white as snow. For
now my Bible tells me he now ever liveth to make intercession. Knew no sin, makes intercession for you and I. That's why the Bible says if any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father, the man Christ Jesus. You and I. The devil tries to remind you of the body of sin, the old man. You just need to remind him of Jesus, the body of no sin that paid the price for your salvation.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left
God that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and ye are not for your own, for you are bought with a price. He purchased
from the dead. Oh, praise the Lord.
And the life that I now lead, I lead by the faith of Jesus Christ, the one who gave his body of no sin so that I could bury my body of sin.
My death and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as
those that would like to, you may gather in the front.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know. I used to always do it. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, you washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Baptism is not about joining a church. Baptism's not about being identified as Pentecostal or apostolic. Baptism is about taking on the name of Jesus Christ, being buried with him in baptism, destroying the body of sin. Hallelujah. One more time, can we applaud the Lord for his goodness? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll say this and I'm done. It's no wonder why. You can read it for yourself, Acts chapter 10. Cornelius and his household, Peter's preaching, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that believed. They of the circumcision, in other words, the Jews, were astonished that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter suggested. No. Then Peter hinted. No. Then Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh. Thank you, Jesus, for the understanding, the privilege, the opportunity that we have to be buried with you in baptism, to bury the body of sin, to walk in a newness of life. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord this morning. Evening service tonight, prayer beginning at 6, praise and worship 6:30. God bless you for being here this morning. If you have opportunity, congratulate Josh Kreger this morning. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.